Book, as we are going through our in our devotions, we are going through the book of what is our book right now? Isaiah. And we are now in what part of Isaiah? This is a Bible Project video. Remember I tell you about it? I just love their diagrams. They're easy to find online, and I just copy and paste them and use them for Isaiah because Isaiah is really complicated. So whenever you put anything complicated in a cartoon, it simplifies it. So Isaiah's message, I put the chapter breaks here. What part are we in? Have we read through 1 through 39 already? Yes or no? Yes. And in that section, which is very reminiscent of the Old Testament, the 39 chapters of the Old Testament, it really speaks a lot of God's judgment against the rebellion, the rebelliousness, the unfaithfulness of God's chosen people, right? Very much like our Old Testament today. But in there, did it mention pockets of hope? Sure there was. Just like in our Old Testament today, it's filled with hope, okay? And then the second half of Isaiah, how many books are there in the Bible? 66, right? Very reminiscent of our New Testament, is a message of God's fulfillment of his covenant promises, right? Very much a picture of the hope that God is painting the picture of for his people, right? Okay, so here we are. Where are we in our reading right now? What have we been reading in the last, you know, week or so of our devotional? Where are we? What chapters are we in? Anybody remember who's doing it? Yep. Okay, so we're in like 50, we're in the 50s now, right? So we are in the second half. And what we were talking about a few weeks ago, just to remind you, is we took this little chunk of verse 40 through 48, and we were ending last week on 48. So what we saw was right when that new section begins, right where the New Testament-ish section begins of Isaiah, he begins even with the very words comfort, right? Because this is now the picture, the prophetic future of Israel, who has been taken into what? Exile, captivity by the, not the Assyrians, but the, not A, but B, so that's the Babylonians. And God is talking about, hey, you know what? I'm going to bring you guys back. I'm going to bring you guys back. And this was all told like about 100 years before it actually even happened, right? And Israel, you could return home. But we saw already in there that Israel still stood like this guy, right? And I said, well, we don't always want to make Israel look bad as if we don't understand them. They have been in captivity for a number of years at that point. They might, even though God say, I'm going to restore you, even if God does rescue them, after a long time of being in captivity, they're wondering if God just forgot about us. And that happens to us, doesn't that, sometimes? So we can not point at Israel saying, oh, these people, they're so stubborn and foolish. But sometimes we can try to relate with them more and say, you know what, that's very much similar to us and our predicament. Sometimes we might even have a moment of a question of, God, really, is my problem something that you're even aware of? God, are you in this? It doesn't make sense. Did you just forget about me? And yet, then through the next several chapters, we see this picture of God saying, here are all the reasons why I am trustworthy. Here are all the reasons why I am big enough and strong enough and faithful enough. I'm going to remind you of my faithfulness to you. I'm going to remind you how great I am and how worthy I am. I'm deserving of you trusting in me. I'm good enough, I'm strong enough for you to trust in me. I wasn't neglecting you at all. In fact, we talked about this last week, right? God, when the exile was a form of discipline, not neglect, the scriptures tell us that God disciplines those he loves. And so it should be emphatic for them to say, well, that was clearly a result of our rebellion. God's exile of us was a form of hard love, tough love, right? And that's the point that God is trying to prove to them. And he says, in fact, I've raised up the king Syria of Persia to be able to take down the Babylonians. I'm controlling world forces to protect you, my people. I'm affecting the climate of governments today for your purpose. And so as we were looking through this in our devotional last week, we were reading many of these like section headings, right? Just to remind you guys, that were very encouraging. Section headings like, see the new things that God is doing. Hear the new song that God is placing in your midst. There's no other Savior than Yahweh. God is redeeming you. He's the Redeemer. There's no other God that you ought to put your trust in. And again, you know, we see that he was showing that it was discipline and that he's doing things. And he's saying, shouldn't you realize that God loves you so much? This is Isaiah's message. He remains faithful to you. Hasn't he proven to you his providential care? Hasn't he proven that to you over and over and over again? Why do you still forget and not trust? And so we looked at one of the verses in two Thursdays ago's reading where it said, Isaiah is saying, remember this. Keep this in mind. Take it to your heart. Remember the things I have done in the past. And then I had you guys together read with me the Psalm in 105, right? That says, forget not. Forget not. What verses were those in Psalm 105? Do you guys remember? Let's turn to Psalm 105 once again. And if you remember, we read verses 1 through 5. 1 through 5. So we'll read 1 through 5 again. It's just a great morning psalm. I love reading psalms in the morning. The verse is not up there. This is just a verse that I thought of last week. Psalm chapter 105. Everybody there? Okay. And let's read verses 1 through 5. Okay. 1, 2, ready, go.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works.
Yes.
Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered.
Okay, you see that? That was verse 5 is a verse that I memorized, that I wrote out with a little Crayola marker, I remember, when I first kind of came unto salvation, and I experienced this. It just seemed like God would show himself faithful in my life, and then I would forget, and then I would start going in my old like ways, my old self, and then I would, like through a retreat or through a good sermon, I would remember again God's faithfulness, and I was kind of tired of forgetting. And so when I came across this in my devotional life one time, I wrote it down. I remember with a Crayola marker, really. It was like a blue Crayola marker. And my style was I would rip the paper. I would rip it, you know, and so it would be ripped all around, and I taped it right in front of my desk, so that I would not forget. Because I always felt that I always seem to forget how faithful and good God is. Do you guys have a tendency of doing that too? We just kind of, like, life starts to get busy or something, and we have this tendency to just always forget that God is so good. And then we face a big obstacle or a challenge in our life, and we wonder, is God worth trusting in today? Like, has he forgotten me? I have a hard time trusting him today. But Isaiah is saying to them, remember, don't forget. Keep it in your heart. Don't forget the things that God has done in the past. And yet, we saw like this kind of phrase saying like, don't you remember who God is and who you are? We forget who we are because we forget who God is. When we forget who we are, we start to think that we're people of the world again. We start to do things the worldly way. We start to follow our old way of patterns of thinking, and we forgot that we were a child of God. Right? You guys with me? Okay? And so we had this discussion question again. Why do you think it's human tendency to not remember God? And what were the answers to that? We discussed this last week, so it should be fresh on your mind. What are some of the reasons why human tendency is to forget God? What did we say? We talked about this last week, so it should be fresh on your mind. Do you need like another like 30 seconds to remember? What are some of the reasons? Give it to me.
It's easier not to remember. Yeah.
It's easier not to remember. Why is it easier not to remember? Mm-hmm. Okay. What's another reason? I remember this group said something like, you can't see and touch God. It's not like he's right around you. Right? So it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. That's the word in English. In Chinese, it would be 如果我没看见, 那我就没想到. Something like that. Right? Does that make sense? Out of sight, out of mind. Is that a good Chinese colloquialism right there? It doesn't work, right? That's like ABC, third grade level Chinese, okay? Right, but it's saying, if I don't see it, I forget. It's not in my mind, right? In our house right now, the funniest joke is Kevin's younger brother, Easy, who is, the greatest things could have happened to him in our house. Like just crazy stuff. Like he gets a birthday. We don't take him out to Chinese hot pot and all that stuff, which we all would want to eat, because he's like a teenage mutant ninja turtle. He loves pizza. That's it. That's his favorite meal in the whole world. So we're like, cheap dinner, easy. We could buy him like all the pepperoni pizza, celebrate his birthday, buy him all the gifts, and then literally the next day he'd be like, Ethan, is there anything to give thanks for in the last few days? No. Do you remember anything good that happened recently? No. Like, what? I'm gonna slap you in the face, man. We like, you know, right? That's how I feel. I'm like, man, we treated you so nice. Like, how did you forget that? Or what was the thing we talked about this morning on the car? Like, do you remember?
The shoe.
Oh, yeah. Like, I fixed his shoe. His shoe had a hole in it. So before I bought a new shoe for him, I glued it, I duct taped it, I spent all this time to fix his shoe. His shoe stinked. He has stinky feet. So I'm like fixing his shoe, and I'm like, oh. And I spent like a whole afternoon doing it, and I said, oh, you remember that time I fixed your shoe? Huh? No. Really? I spent like 2 hours trying to fix your shoe. Right? We do that. Why do we do that to God? It's just human tendency. It just seems like it's in our nature to forget all the good things. But in Psalm 105, it also says, remember all that he has done. Remember all his miracles, his faithfulness, everything that he's done in verse 5 of 105. But what does it say in verse 1 and 2? Of 105. What did it say? What does it say? Give thanks to the Lord. Call is using what? Call is using your mouth to call upon his name. And then what? Make known. How do you make known? You got to tell others. And then it says, verse 2, sing. Do you sing in your mind? No, you sing with your mouth, and then it says what? Sing praises to him, and then what? Tell of all his wonderful works. You see that? This morning in every Sunday school, I start with a time of giving thanks and praise. And it is like crickets in here. Nobody's talking. Oh, we're Chinese. We don't talk with our mouth. We use sign language, or we think it. Because before, I have said before, oh, this is my old guilt way. Oh, no one's thankful in here? Oh, no one is thankful to God, right? That's my sarcastic way. Oh, it's quiet. No one is thankful. And then the Chinese people got mad at me. People pulled me away later.
Yeah. Pastor Austin here. Let me tell you. Chinese people, we are very thankful. We just don't say it. Don't say that we don't are not thankful. I'm thankful. I just don't have a habit to say it. Don't say that. I said, okay. They like literally pulled me by the ear. Hey, come here. Let me tell you this. And so I don't guilt trip anymore, people. I know you're thankful in your heart. But in this room, it's not a Chinese Sunday school. This is the English-speaking Sunday school. Even the English people don't give thanks out loud. So I'm sure if I said, the English people, the British people, whatever. So I'm sure if I gave you a guilt trip too, oh, my old style, oh, you must not be thankful. I don't hear any thanks. Peter is going to pull my ear later like he has before. Hey, don't say that. Like, I am thankful. I just don't have a habit of saying it. But how do we not forget? Psalm 105 says, you got to tell it. You got to sing it. You got to say it. You got to say his name, right? We have to start to build a habit for us to say it so that we won't forget it. You with me? Okay? So start to practice the habit of saying it. And I help you. I'm here to help you. I'm not a mean teacher, right? I could keep being sarcastic and saying, why is it so quiet in here? Are you guys not waking up? You don't have your coffee? By the way, if you're a teacher or you're ever in front of people leading worship, never say phrases like that. Why do your faces look that way? People don't know what their faces look like. You guys look so tired. Oh, do I? Did I not put enough makeup on this morning? Am I that ugly? People don't know how you look. If I told you how ugly you look, you would be like, you wouldn't come to the class anymore. And so never say to people sarcastically, oh, like I had to learn the hard way. Oh, you don't give thanks, you must not be thankful. That's not true. So what I do is I let you guys warm up in groups. Right, then the volume goes up. Oh, you have a lot to share. You're just not ready to share it in the great assembly yet, right? So let's just practice doing that in our life, because saying it will help us not forget it, okay? Husbands and wives, do that to each other. Make it a habit on the car, when you're driving. Hey, what are some things? Let's have a competition. Let's keep going back and forth until who can't think of something to give thanks for. You will have a great time. You will have a great time of just giving thanks. You'll start giving thanks for fruit that you don't even eat. You'll give thanks for paper, pencils, you know, lint that you find. I mean, you're just giving thanks to God for all these things until your wife loses and you're like, ah, I got you. Okay? So give thanks. Practice giving thanks with one another. And that is some of the pattern that we see in Israel. Okay? Isaiah was saying then, don't you remember that God has called you to be a what? Servant to the nations. And so what we were looking at last week was this whole pattern of, in Isaiah, you see these highlighted words. But you, Israel, my what? Servant. You are my what? I have what? Chosen you. Who is blind but my what? Or deaf as my messenger. Messenger. Now I'm a servant, I'm a messenger. My what? Dedicated one. Behold my, whom I uphold, my chosen, and whom my soul delights. I put my spirit on him, and he will what? Bring forth justice to the nations. And you are my witnesses. So the picture we see for what a servant to the nations is supposed to be, meaning, I think we're okay if you're okay. Oh, yeah, I'm just yelling and I'm sweating right now, but that's okay. I'm seriously okay. Don't feel bad. This is my exercise today. So Israel, my servant, my chosen one, we see it, the picture of a servant, he's chosen, but the
but the servant is a messenger to the nations, dedicated to do that, to bring forth justice. And last week, we said the concept of bringing justice, because God gives them right and wrong and wisdom to know right and wrong. That, what is bringing forth justice a concept of? Remember we said it last week? You guys remember? Bringing forth justice to the nations is like bringing, starts with a B. B-L-E.
Blessings.
Oh. Okay. Blessings. Yes, blessings. Bringing blessings. That's joy, right? Bringing blessings to the nations. So the concept of being servant, the chosen, the messenger, the dedicated one to witness, to bring forth God's blessing to the nations, to be his witness, so that all will what? Know and believe in God and understand that God is Yahweh. That Yahweh, the God of this people, that's their job. Their job is to do that. They are blessed to be a what? I can't hear you guys. They are blessed to be a blessing to others. The blessing is not a blessing if it flows to you, unless it flows through you. Right? And this was a picture that we saw. When did this start? When did the call come to be a servant to the nations? When did we see it? In Genesis 12. Okay? Because we saw it in the promise, verses 1 through 3, to Abraham. Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I'll show you. I'll make you into a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you will be cursed. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. I'm going to bless your socks off, because I'm going to give you relationship with me, because that's the ultimate blessing. The ultimate blessing is not material goods. The ultimate, we're not preaching health and wealth. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you always are cured of cancer. But the biggest blessing you have is this amazing relationship with Yahweh. And to have wisdom to know what is right and wrong. To know how to live this life trusting in His ways. Because Isaiah says His ways are higher than whose ways? Our ways. Because His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so to know His ways, to trust in Him, to actually have God's involvement in our life, wow, that's our blessing that we can bless the nations with. That originally came to Israel. And, okay, so we saw this picture. I don't need to go through it again, right? This is that's the story of the whole Bible. You have Genesis 1 through 11, where you have the fall, you have Cain and Abel, you have the Tower of Babel in 10 through 11, and then God says, you know what? This story is getting out of hand. My plan is to call out a dedicated, chosen people from which my blessings will flow. Okay, so that was to the servant of the nations. Don't you remember, God has called you to be a servant to the nations? That's what Isaiah is saying in these chapters. The evidence of God's involvement in their life should have affected them, right? Should have, as they experience God, as we do, you should be like, oh my goodness, it should motivate me to be a blessing to others. I don't want to forget that. But when we read, turn your Bibles to Isaiah 48, 1 through 5. And we looked at this last week, so I'm going to do a quick refresh, and we're going to go where I want to go with this, is what did they do? Look at Isaiah 48, 1 through 5. Go ahead. Start shouting it out, because you don't have to spend a lot of time. You already did this last week. It's just, it takes a long time for you guys to warm up. Give me those adjectives again. What are the adjectives of these people? What are they?
Bronze forehead.
They have a bronze forehead. What does that mean? You're a knucklehead. You have a hard head. That's a bronze forehead. What else do they have?
They're obstinate.
Well, you could read your Bible too. It says they're obstinate. And what else does it say?
Stiff-necked.
Okay, again, who did I say gets a stiff neck in our church last week? Do you guys remember? Who always gets a stiff neck after playing basketball?
Uh-huh.
Bex, right? So Bex is our living example of Bob's not doing his neck. Bex gets stiff neck. Bex becomes like RoboCop, you know, because her classic move is a pump fake. So when she pumps fake, she goes, oh, my neck, and she's like walking around for like 3 days now. That's called stiff neck. You can't turn. You can't turn your neck anymore. But she's not spiritually stiff neck. She's only physically stiff neck. So we said that what does obstinate mean? Obstinate means stubborn. And someone said unteachable. Hard-headed, or the brass head means hard head. It is as if you won't listen. And someone said, if you have a hard head, it's hard for you to change your mind. You guys said this, okay? And stiff-necked, you know, like when Bex has a stiff neck and I call to her, she can't really, you know, she's like, well, where are you? Like, it throws off her hearing. She didn't know where I'm at, okay? When you are stiff-necked, the picture of animals that have stiff necks are they cannot be led. They cannot be led. So the response, even though Israel experiences the power, the grace, the providence of their God, and it should motivate them, when we think of God's faithfulness and power in our life, we should go, God, you're so great. I just want to live for you more. That's why music helps us, because music is singing out who God is, right? And you get motivated, and you're like, oh, I remember again. God is so faithful. He's so good to me. And that should motivate you to live for him. But instead, we see in Isaiah 48, 1 through 5, that Israel is unteachable. They won't listen. They won't change their mind. And they can't be led. That's sometimes how we have to understand these Bible terms. You are unteachable. We can't. You won't listen to God. You won't listen to Isaiah. You can't be led. And what will God do? Let's look at verses 17 through 19. Now, finally, God is almost saying, this is the final straw. Let's see what he says in verse 17 through 19, and I want to hear your response. Okay, so Isaiah. Okay, what does God say? Now, what is the result? What is the result? You should have been what? You were supposed to be what? Go ahead, tell me. You're supposed to be peace like a river?
No, peace would have been like, yeah.
Peace would have been like a river flowing through you. See that picture? Peace is flowing through you like this. Righteousness like the waves of the sea. It's coming from you. And what else?
A lot of kids.
You're going to have a lot of kids, man. It's going to be great, because as this blessing is coming through you like a river, like the waves that... What's the thing with waves?
They fall.
Yeah, it's the ocean. But if you sit there and watch waves, how long do you sit there to watch waves until the waves stop?
The waves never stop.
The waves never stop. It is this endless outpour coming from you. That's a picture that God's saying, this is what's supposed to have come through you. You're called by me to be the servant of the nations, to bless everyone. I have given you, out of all people of the earth, this one special gift to let me flow through you to everyone endlessly until the end of days. The end of days for the enemies of God. And there will be the new heaven and new earth. Then we're going to continue on. But it's good. It's supposed to reach everybody in the world endlessly. It's supposed to flow through you, but what was 17 through 19 saying? Right? It's supposed to flow through you, but what? But it didn't. It won't. He's basically saying, this is it. What are some of the top reasons why people become stubborn and stiff-necked? What are some of the top reasons? Talk about it in your group for like 1 minute. Okay. Or use the other words right here. Unteachable, won't change mind, can't be led. Why? Why is that? Okay, what are some of the reasons? What are some of the reasons why people, Christians, become unteachable, won't listen, change their mind, they can't be led? What are some reasons?
They think they know so much.
Like, okay.
You can't tell me what to do.
Okay. Like, hey, I know how to do it. You can't tell me. I'm pretty sure I know the right way. Anything else? How about this next group? Okay.
Once you do it yourself, then you're like, oh, I can't do it.
Okay. It's small thing. I could do it myself. I don't need God to lead me through that. It's a small thing. 小事. This is a small one. I don't need to have God for the... I'll go to God when it's like really bad. But this kind of stuff, I could take care of myself. Okay? How about in the back there?
So...
Wow, so polite.
Stuff.
Okay, go ahead.
I think if we kept the analogy going, like stiff neck, like people get stiff neck like when they strain too much. So going by that analogy, like if you're trying to do stuff, too many things on your own.
Oh, it's like, okay.
You kind of like develop that.
Okay.
You can't be led any other way anymore.
Oh yeah. So you're saying because you try to do so many things on your own, you get stuck in that pattern. You can't be led in any other way anymore. You're so used to just choosing your way, right? Okay, good. All right, how about in the back right there?
Family pressure and peer pressure.
Family pressure. Okay, yeah, that's true.
Those are not saved, and are Buddhist or things like that.
Sure, you know, family pressure. What about sometimes it's a battle, right, of like thinking, right? It's like, I was preaching this to the Chinese group last night, right? Nobody was in here except Mabel, so it's okay, right? So it's like, it's kind of like you get the picture of, like, here's the hardship in my life, and here's how I've always done it, because I grew up doing that way. My mom and dad taught me to do it that way. My mom and dad taught me to solve problems this way. And then you realize, if you're wise and you're in God's word, that God has a different way to solve problems. Which one do you choose? Scott's saying that's the pressure, right? The pressure to do it the old way, or the pressure from the people around you to do it the wrong way.
Okay, good. How about this one right here?
We talked about fear, just how fear of the unknown can cripple you, and that comes from just relying on your own understanding of what you can see rather than having faith.
Okay. So fear causes which one of these, do you think?
I think it causes all three. Okay. Because you're just like too scared to move.
Okay. Like you're paralyzed.
Yeah.
Okay. Fear can paralyze us. Okay, good. How about this group here?
It's kind of what these two groups said. I think it ultimately came down to like pride.
Okay.
Because a lot of what they said is pretty much pride just manifested in different ways.
Okay, pride manifested in different ways. Okay. So, for these reasons, for whatever reason caused them to be this way, stubborn, obstinate, unteachable, hard-headed, won't change their mind, can't be led, God basically said, you were supposed to be my servant to the nations. And what we are going to talk about in the next few weeks, and you could already begin to see it as you read in our devotions now, in the chapter 50 and on, right? Is God says he's going to do a new thing. And we're going to see this transition that God tells Israel, you were supposed to be my servant to the nations, chosen, dedicated to witness, to let the ever-flowing river of peace go through you. And the waves, the endless waves of righteousness is going to come through you. But it will not any longer. I have another servant in mind. I have another servant, as we'll see in the scriptures in the chapter 50 and up, that says, I have someone that I'm going to fill with my spirit. Someone that will take the place of you to be the true servant to the nations. Through this servant will flow the river of peace. Through this servant will come the waves of righteousness. Who do you think that's talking about? Sunday school answer? Come on.
Jesus.
Yes, Jesus, right? That's what we're seeing right here. We're seeing this transition in the language of Isaiah. This servant of the nations language is starting to shift. And God's saying, man, I tried so hard to let you be the person, the persons that I blessed through. And just over and over again, you have just not gone my way. You've not embraced that. And so, yes, are you blessed still? Yeah, I'll take care of you. But there's a phrase that a preacher used before that scared the pants off of me when I was young. Not literally, right? Okay. But the phrase said, you don't want God, because of your stubbornness, to put you on the shelf and not use you anymore. Ooh, that scared me, even as a young Christian. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you use these mugs, you have them in your cupboard, right? Like, we, you know, and then we get these, like, new mugs all the time or whatever people give us, like, this, you know, this is like gift, you know, and it's like, and then you might have had a nice cup, but then it started to leak or whatever, right? You've had it for a while, or just the plastic's chewing out like this, or it's just, and you want to use it. You love it. You love that mug. You took it everywhere with you, but the mug just started to not do its job. So what did you do? You put it on the shelf, right? In your cupboard or whatever. You didn't throw it away. Because we're Asian. Right? You don't throw it away. You're just like, I'll leave it there. I don't know why. I don't want to throw it away.
Backup
is not backup. Like it will ever be. Because you'll never touch it again.
Bex and I are trying not to be like our parents who are like that. They're, you know, like, it's like, whoa, hey, this is my broken cup from like 30 years ago, right? But you don't want to be that vessel that God wants to use. And he loves using you. But because of your just inability to be used, because you can't be led, because you're so stubborn, you'll never change your mind, you're never teachable. That God just kind of says, man, I love you. You were so good. I really wanted to use you forever. But you know what? I'm going to just put you on the shelf and make way for the mug that wants to be used. I heard that sermon and it just scared me. I was like, oh, I never want to be put on the shelf. Because being put on the shelf, it's your own choice. Right? It's you saying to God, I don't want to be used. Why is it that some people in the church, I shared with the Chinese group last night, I said, do you know that some of the people in the youth group, some of these young brothers and sisters, even though you have known the Lord and you have been at church for 20, 30 years, some of the young people, because they're willing to trust in God and continue to be led and changed by God, they are much farther along in their faith journey than you. They are being used by God, and they're being willingly used by God, and they love it. And God is changing them, and they're trusting in God. And when God shows them things in their life, they are offering that to God. And I gave some scary words to the Chinese fellowship last night. I said, some of you have been in church for 20, 30 years, more than they are old. More years than some of these young people are old in their age. And yet, you have remained like this. And I didn't use this picture because it's too strong. I would not say to them, I hope that God has not put some of you on the shelf. Right? That's our own decision. God loves us, and he has chosen to bless us, to let the new blessings of Christ Jesus flow through us to reach the nations. God opened it up to the Gentiles. That's us. None of us are Jewish here. Michael, you have any Jewishness in you?
It's been said.
It's been said, okay. Except Michael, none of us, but he's not even a pure Jew. Okay, so you don't even count. Okay? None of us are Jews. We are all part of the new covenant of the Spirit, which Christ Jesus, the true servant of the nations, allows us to be a part of that group now to reach the nations. We are. What a privilege to let God say to this ugly little vessel of us, these jars of clay. Remember, we preached on that a few weeks ago. That God would say, you're such an ordinary vessel. You're such an ordinary little dinky mug, but you don't leak. And you're not chewed out, and you still work. And I love using you. Yeah, there's these new fancy Starbucks, you know, things, but I love to use you. And I will use you as long as you want to be used. But if you ever choose to continue like this, and you start to leak, yeah, you'll probably keep your salvation. But I'm just going to put you on the shelf. I'm not going to use you anymore. You see what I mean? You guys with me with that? So my last question is, do you think it's fair for God to put people on the shelf? Do you think it's fair? Yes or no?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's God. So.
But it's just because he's God? Is it fair? In the world of fairness, Equity? Equality? Is that the right word? Equitability? Right? Whatever the word is it fair? Is it just for God to say, I'd love to use you, but you didn't want to be used? I'm going to put you on the shelf. Is it fair? Yes or no?
Yes.
I can't hear you guys.
Yes.
In fact, what would true fairness be? Dude, you know what? This cup sucks. I'm going to just rip it apart. I'm going to cut it down. It's going into the fire. Good thing God's a little Asian, right? Like, I'm going to throw it away. I'm going to burn you. You're safe. You're safe. I just ain't going to use you no more. You see, it's fair. It's more than fair. So I hope what we walk away with is we have to keep telling and reminding ourselves, speaking thankfulness, singing God's praise, telling others, because that's what Psalm 105 says. Tell others, tell the nations, tell everyone who does not know, because the more you tell it, the more you won't forget it. And then you're going to keep knowing that it is a privilege, it is an honor to be a dinky little ordinary vessel that God loves to use. And if you today are sliding into unteachableness, God cannot seem to change your mind. God cannot seem to lead you. I pray that you will begin to repent and turn from that, because God is carrying you over to the shelf. But you can still say, God, please don't put me on the shelf. And God's so nice. And God's so merciful that he said, are you sure? Because like you're like right here, buddy. You're like, are you sure you're not going to leak anymore? You want to be used? I'll bring you back because I would love to use you. That's how good God is. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning again. What a crazy, beautiful message that you weave through the book of Isaiah. And this is just a small chunk of it. And we just want to give you thanks and praise that you are indeed that loving, merciful God. Lord, you are full of compassion. And yet we see this pattern of people in the Israelites that is so reminiscent of us. That even though they experience your goodness in so many ways, they just cannot seem to want to allow you to change them. And they just seem like they don't want to be led by you. And they refuse to come under your ways. Lord, what a shame that is to see. But how often do we reflect that same attitude? Oh Lord, I pray that there's no one in this room that you have put on the shelf. I pray that our hearts would, if we've become a little bit hard, that you would soften us by your Holy Spirit and by your grace. We don't deserve to be softened, but soften us so that we can respond and say that we want to be, even though ordinary, a vessel used by our God to be a blessing to others. Lord, allow those blessings that you pour upon our life to truly flow through us to serve others, to tell, to use our mouth to speak of your goodness to all those around us, both the saved and the unsaved alike, that your glory may be known throughout this world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.